The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, by Theodore Roosevelt.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Expert Dale podcast to fulfill your mind with the virtues of life. I'm your host, Umang Panchal, inviting you to join us at Expert Dale podcast, where we meet some enormous personalities from the world and listen them to learn from their stories.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Expert Dale podcast. I'm your host, feeling so happy and excited to invite you all in this number 13 episode. And now we have very amazing, energetic and the electrified personality with us to talk about a different entrepreneurship processing and also the different projects. But now, before going ahead, I would like to please like if you like this video, and also please don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you will not miss any single update from my side. So now, let's begin this episode and ruminate some of the important achievements of our today's guest, that he appeared in Forbes 30 Under 13 in 2019. Not only that, but his product GripMed, which is also the name of his company, he and his product appeared on the cover of the magazine of Time. And now it's amazing things when he appeared on the Shark Tank event and he raised the thousands and hundreds of dollars from this so-called sharks, which is named as the Mark Cuban, which is amazing American entrepreneur, and the Lori Granite. And I would like to say the third person is the very amazing and the legendary entrepreneur is the name as the Richard Branson. Not only that, but Richard Branson also mentioned him and his product to his personal blog, and the Virgin Group is widely using the GripMed product in their worldwide plans. Now we can see that his product GripMed is amazing, and many people's like the GarageMan, like the multi-billion-dollar companies, and also the marvelous agencies like NASA and Virgin, they are using GripMed. But when you listen, when you think, when you hear his personality and amazing thoughts about him, it will blow your mind that who he is and how he grew in such a way that he is now at this level. But I would like to say he also served for the United States Air Force as a jet aircraft mechanic. And I'm so happy to be with him now to talk about a different amazing talks and amazing tactics about the entrepreneurship. So now, please help me in welcoming our today's guest, who is the most amazing personality. And I can say he is the founder and CEO of the GripMed company. So please welcome Tom Burden. Thank you so much, Tom, for joining us today, and welcome you on Expert Dale podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me, sir.
Thank you so much, Tom, for your time. And I would like to say, when I was reading the Forbes 30 and 30, and it was the favorite category, and it's the manufacturing that what I want to learn about it. And when I have seen your photograph over there, I have heard that he's from Ohio. And also, he's working as a mechanic at the Air Force. Boom. I love that one. And then I started to search about you, to learn about you. And when I have seen the feeds and the videos and the notes and everything, boom, it blew my mind. And the whole day, I was on that thing. I didn't follow my calendar. I just read about you. I just think about you. And the thing I learned was really fabulous. It's awesome. So now that question happened in my mind, the first thing, that what sparks you? What happened in your life? What the things that comes in your life that you became an uncommon entrepreneur from that mechanic at the Air Force?
Yeah, so I guess with my story, I had this idea and I wanted to solve the problem. And what really happened was I didn't know where to start. And there was, you know, another entrepreneur from my base who he retired, and he had the software idea and ended up becoming very like successful. And I thought, well, you know, that'll be the route that I want to take, because you know, I don't know where to start. I'm young, I don't have any money, and you know, I was just going to wait till 20 years after I retired to start it. And so that's where like my mindset was. And then my cousin was going to Ohio State University, and his name's Ned. Ned went out to New Mexico to visit his sister Sandy. And Sandy says, you know, what do you want to do while you're out here? And he goes, I want to catch a rattlesnake. And she's like, why would you want to do that? And he goes, well, at least make a really cool, or she goes, why would you want to do that? You could get bitten, you could get hurt, you know, you could die. And he goes, well, make a damn cool story, won't it? And so he's looking everywhere for this rattlesnake, you know, can't find one, gets one of Sandy's friends who's got a Jeep Wrangler to drive like way out into the desert. And, you know, they're looking high and low day and night, and turn over rocks, can't find a rattlesnake. And what happened was Sandy's neighbor got wind of this and saw a dead rattlesnake alongside the road, threw it in the back of the truck and coiled it up next to their front door.
Wow.
So Ned and Sandy come home, and Sandy walks right by it, doesn't even see it. Ned sees it and he's freaking out. He's like screaming. The dog comes out like barking, and Sandy thinks the dog's going to get bitten. So everyone's like freaking out over this rattlesnake. The neighbor runs out and he says, hey, relax. Like, this is, it's a dead rattlesnake. Don't call the cops. So like basically joke's on you. long story short, Ned got his rattlesnake. So wow. Ned goes home, and 4 months later, he realizes he's got stage 4 cancer, and he passes away 6 months after that. So to me, I ask myself, like, what's my rattlesnake? What's that thing that I really want that other people might not understand? Because to me, the thing is, you know, you might not get another summer to chase your rattlesnake. So the concept that I had of like wanting to, you know, wait until after I retired to invent this product, you know, made me realize that, you know, I might not get another summer to chase my dream. So I'm actually here in Hawaii right now. And, you know, I read this book called from Kyle Cease called Illusion of Money. In the last chapter, it says, so after each chapter, you'll have a to-do. And the last chapter, the to-do was do something you really want to do for 24 hours. And, you know, I got to the chapter that, you know, I got to the end of the book, and I had a really packed weekend. I was like, I don't got time to do something for 24 hours. And then COVID hit and wiped everything out. Like, so I had the entire free weekend, and I still did not do anything, or I had a free weekend and I still did not do the 24-hour thing. Hour to do. And I come Sunday night, they shut down all the bars and restaurants in Ohio. And yep. I was actually, they were shutting it down at like 8 o'clock or something. And I was with my family, like getting dinner for like the last time. And I said to my mom, I'm like, I think I'm going to fly to Hawaii. That was my like thing that I really wanted to do. Wow. So I just texted everyone on the GridMat team that night. I said, who wants to go to Hawaii? And only one person got back to me, and I called them and I was like, we got to leave like now. We got like the next flight out. We got to go. And 11 o'clock at night, we talked on the phone. At 6 a.m. we're headed to the airport. So so to me, like Hawaii is part of my rattlesnake. Like, why would you do that? Like, it's because it's what I really want. We might not get another summer to like escape to Hawaii or do what we really want to do. So since I've been here, I got a tattoo. This is a rattlesnake in the shape of an infinity symbol. So it's in like a Hawaiian tribal print. So like what it means to me is like I'll forever chase my rattlesnake. So I guess when you ask me like, you know, why did I start, what got me going, was really the concept of like the rattlesnake story, and just asking myself, you know, what is my rattlesnake, and like what, you know, realizing that, you know, time is limited.
Yes. I totally agree with you. And when you have said your story for for the rattlesnake and your cousin. It's really magical story. I can say every person should have to find their rattlesnake to be with who you are actually and what you want to do. Other than that of any chaos in around your world, you have to find and you do what you actually want to become or what you actually love. That's really awesome story. So now the second stage I want to ask that in this process of becoming from the mechanic to the entrepreneur, like what are the steps you have followed? Like any university you have went or you have any incubation centers for that? You go through the process or what are the things that you have done during that period of time?
I think like the mindset shift that someone would need that wants to start an idea is, or maybe really reflect on your mindset of like, are you focused on what you don't have or are you focused on looking at what you do have and using it to leverage to get what you need? So, cause a lot of people are like, well, where do I start? I like, oh, well you've got connections to Mark Cuban and all these people. And it's like, oh, I don't have that. So that's why you can do it and I can't. Where, you know, like, I don't know where to start. I don't know how to run a company. I don't know. But it's like, if you just start somewhere and see like where you need to, like, just starting right away, because there's always something that you can do.
Yeah.
You can literally just Google. You can YouTube. You can, you know, look up entrepreneurship. There's always something that you can do. So the thing is right now, especially in the United States, there's so much like free resources out there. As long as you have like a cell phone or a laptop and electric and Wi-Fi, like you can get a lot of free resources. So people be like, and then, I mean, very specifically with people, the problem is like, the problem is not knowing where to start.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that's the problem. The real problem is not starting. Mm. So when people don't know where to start, they just don't. Like, well, I don't know if I should do option A or option B. So then therefore they do nothing.
Like okay.
So you could have done both options within a day and tried both, but you spent months trying to figure out which one was the wrong or the right one. And the problem, I mean, I just got off of a meeting about this with like the way that we're doing our marketing. Like there's nothing is like, there is no wrong or right in the real world. We've created the society with the way we do our education system, that there is a wrong and there is a right.
Yeah.
There's only, so the thing is with our marketing, there is no wrong or right. There's only like optimizing. So we can get better. Like, okay, this today we didn't sell as much or our ads didn't work as well. How do we optimize it? So that's, just, I guess for someone who's like wanting to start, where to start, just realize like, are you like, it's just to start in like anywhere. You know, calling every single one of your friends up. Hey, do you know anyone who does manufacturing? Do you know any entrepreneurs? Somebody knows somebody. If that doesn't work, then go start knocking on doors. Like, Google. Send DMs to other entrepreneurs. Anything. So
I understand, and it's an amazing thing. And I can find that the perfection and the procrastination point over here, because this is the most amazing thing that most of the entrepreneurs are struggling about it. That whenever they're gonna start anything, whenever they're gonna do anything regarding their experiment or project or the company or their marketing strategies, they wanna be the perfect guy in the hall. But it doesn't mean like that. The perfection always ruin your timing and all those things, and that lead you toward that procrastination of your project and all the stuff. So I can relate this point with that perfection and the procrastination paradox over here.
So yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest killers is just analysis paralysis. One thing another entrepreneur said was, perfect is the enemy of good. Good is the enemy of starting.
Yes, I believe so. And it's really, I also felt that things because when you are starting anything, when you are doing anything, the first thing that come into mind that you want to be the person who have the A plus that we got in right. our schools. And that's exactly. why the thing happened. What do you think about?
Right. That's the hard part, is that there is no A plus within like entrepreneurship. I mean, you might think like I got an A plus, but on Shark Tank or on in my company, but like there's always something that's can be improved on and something that's better. Like an example is I had an intern who was like a straight A student, and we were at a trade show, and before it started, he goes, "What would be the perfect trade show?" And mm-hmm. I was like, what do you think would be the perfect trade show? Because to me, I'm like, there is no perfect trade show. He's like, well, the perfect trade show is we would sell out of all of our inventory that we brought. Okay. Mm. Okay. I'm like, that's a good goal. I was like, what if we sold out the first day? Would that be more perfect? He's like, yeah, that'd be better. I was like, so for side note, there is no, the concept of more perfect doesn't exist. That doesn't even make logical sense. So I said, okay, so it's more perfect if we sell out the first day. Yeah. I was like, actually, if we sell out the first day, that means we miscalculated on our inventory and we lost out on all of the other days for sales. Yeah. So that would actually be really bad. And at that point, he just like, his mind just like broke of like, he can't find the perfect solution. So it's just like, you know, that the concept of the perfect show is, you know, you can envision what you want and what would be really cool, but you know, there's always something better. And, you know, it is, you know, a lot of people think that way. And sometimes it's hard for me, you know, to like lead people who think that mm-hmm. way, because, you know, we'd be at trade shows and be like, what's the goal for the day? The goal for the day is to put as much effort into, you know, the goal is to obtain as much opportunity that walks by our booth today.
Yep.
Like you can't measure that.
Exactly.
The goal is not measurable. So, you know, it is kind of hard to be like, okay, we're going to sell X number, or we're going to make this many contacts. You know, that's kind of hard to do where,
I understand. You
know, yeah.
But, and that's the point that I want to share that, sometimes it's happened. Sometimes you cannot get that level, but it doesn't mean that you failed over that. And then you can go ahead. And I have seen your video. When you say, okay, put your hand up and go try to reach as up as possible. And then you say, okay, do it next time with full of energy and full of effort. Then the people are saying, okay, we reached something more in this experiment. And then I realized that yes, it is the correct thing, that we just have the boundaries in our mind, not anywhere else. We need to clear that. And then boom, we can get whatever we want to do in our life. So now this question, I feel it's really amazing and interesting. Why? Because what happens sometimes that you have that voice, that what you have said, that voice that inside you, that's inspired you, or whatever the incident that you like said about your cousin, that inspire you to pursue your dream without getting burnout of your failures, of your disappointments. So can you say me some of the incidents, some of the things, some of the voice, or some of the self-talk that you have done with yourself while you are struggling in your project?
Yeah. So something that's been, you know, something that was kind of struggling is, you know, the reason why I started GripMat, you know, the rattlesnake thing like got me started, but I didn't really have a reason of like something really guiding me of why I was making this product. You know, I mean, obviously I was a mechanic and I had an issue on the aircraft, but like the why of the company wasn't to like change the world. It wasn't to, you know, I was just a college kid and a mechanic. So I wasn't like thinking big picture. And like really the why became to get on Shark Tank. Like that was the big goal. And then you get on Shark Tank, we do an update, we do another update. And it's just like, now what do we do? So, you know, I think have you ever heard of Why, How, What by Simon Sinek?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So basically, listeners, why is like why you do something, how you do it, and then like what that is. So like what's like basically what's like the purpose. And you know, I've done some why, how, what stuff, but I think what like really helped me was connecting with my core values. So my therapist said, just asked me what my core values were, and I didn't know. And I just searched on YouTube and found this video that talks about core values, and basically it had a list of like over 100 different values. And like my therapist had me pick out the top five. In the video, it talks about like how to discover something that's not a core value, and what that was. You know, an example would be like, would you still choose this core value if you were offered money to like go against it? Mm-hmm. Like, would you turn down money for this core value? And, you know, I'm like, oh, that's like pretty strong. And so like my core values are efficiency, creativity, growth, joy, and adventure. Sorry. And, you know, realizing where those core values lay, and then it can like really, I think the core of like what this is, how this is going to expand and grip Matt, is like really show the authenticity of the brand, and like the brand, which is me, really, my brand, my how I operate. And then basically, you know, what I think a lot about is like different types of brands and how they outsell, you know, something that's cheaper, better, and faster. You know, if you think of Apple, like Apple has a lot of really high quality products, but at the same time, people are just addicted to the brand, you know, same with Tesla. I mean, Tesla is the best like electric car company in the world. And, you know, arguably the best car company in the world. But, you know, there's a point. It's like, how do those brands surface to the top? How do you really build that following? There's a company called D Brands that we like a lot, that, you know, I saw them post something that it's not a product, it's a culture. And, you know, I think like the core values really show like the personality of the brand.
Wow. That's the really amazing thing that you have said. Choose your core values, stick to their core values, and that will lead you to that amazement of your life, which can you explore. And one of the important thing that you have said, you want to make a brand, you want to make a company which is easy, suitable, cheap, and really, really easy, accessible. And you have made that amazing thing about like a grip mat. So now I want to ask you the point, what is the idea behind the grip mat? How you make this brand so convincible to others, how the people can get it easily, and what is the most amazing things that you want to share about the grip mat to the people?
Yeah, so I would say like the concept of the grip mat, I mean, it reduces maintenance time. It's you know, we've proven that it saves mechanics lots of time and lots of money. But I would say like to the brand of Grip Mat is, it's like really about the story of the American dream, which the American dream is having the ability to like create something in your basement and then, you know, grow it into something that's, you know, worldwide. And so like when you're purchasing a grip mat, like that is what you're providing for, is the American dream and supporting the American dream. So having the, you know, like basic to me, like the American dream is like you start here, like at this point with no resources, and then you grow into something that is like very well known, like world renowned. And yeah, so I guess that's like the point of our brand, or like our personality of the company.
Wow. And I can connect it with the different companies, like the Apple itself. It is also generated at the garage of Steve Jobs, and they have started this company from that backyard or garage, I can say, and then it's now worldwide. And I can see that the authenticity of the America is you and your product that you are serving to the people, that this is the real one that you can buy, and this is what you want to share with your core values. It's awesome yeah. concept. It's really nice. So now I have this question, which is really amazing, and it's all about like Shark Tank. So when you appeared on the Shark Tanks, it was awesome. People got to attention about the Tom Burden and what and how he presented. When you put the jet aircraft on that show, people were crazy to see that. I have seen that. And the amazing thing that I have seen on that show is your confidence, how you pitched over there, and how you can do that negotiation with the sharks. It was awesome to see over there, and it was a really thrilling experience, I can say that. So what you have felt, what you have experienced, what you have learned, and what you explored from that event, and it was crazy. I can say it was crazy in front of the Mark Cuban. It was crazy in front of the Richard Branson, how to negotiate with it. So what you learned from that?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. Like when you are asked to go on Shark Tank and you're on Shark Tank, you know, everybody knows that there's people that get roasted. And the thing is, the people who get roasted don't know that they're about to get roasted. So when you just go and you're like, I might be the guy that's about to get hammered right now, but, you know, and then it ends up working out. So yeah, I mean, I definitely had, a more positive experience than most. I feel like due to having, you know, such a unique experience, that it has been able to like support the company and the conversation differently. So, you know, there's people that's like, wow, you got three sharks, you got Richard Branson. You're like getting three sharks, having people like, you know, the sharks compete against each other, getting Richard Branson. Like these are all like, these are typically like things that are like, if you're lucky, you'll get like one of those, but like having all, like all these different positive things, or like a jet on stage, or like the military aspect, you know, all that combined has like really been used a lot more, and has kept a lot of people excited. And you know, it's just kind of like proof of like the brand and like, you know, the voice of Grip Mat really. So yeah, it's been a wild ride, and I wouldn't change it. I've, you know, some people that complain about the show and how it, you know, was a negative impact, but yeah, there's no way I could ever say I wish I didn't go on. Like I can't say that.
Okay, I understand that, and it's for awesome that you have negotiated the three sharks, and including the Richard Branson. That was awesome. I've seen that conversation. It was about the stakeholders, how many stakes they can see, how many dollars of money they can offer to you, and it was amazing. I can see it's a quick decision. So now I want to ask that, what are the procedures that you've gone through to enter these events? Like, what are the terms and criteria that you have to follow if you want to go to the Shark Tank? What are the terms and conditions that you have to cover in the competition of also the Forbes 30 and the 30?
Yeah, so to get on Shark Tank, there's an application process. You can do it online. You can do a casting call. I did online. You know, I think like probably the two easiest tips of getting on the show would be like, one, what's your sales? It's the very first question that anyone really asks on the show. And then two, what's your story? Because there's kind of like two people that you gotta appease on the show, the sharks and then the you know, the director. So the thing is, if you're not good for TV, you'll never make it. But the thing is, you don't see that decision, those decisions being made. Like it's already made when you see the show. So the thing is it TV worthy, you know, and just kind of, I mean, you can watch a few episodes of Shark Tank and understand like, what are they looking for? Like they are looking to expand the American dream and highlight that. That's why Grip Mat and myself was such a good fit, because you know, military mechanic, you know, had the issue, solved the issue. That's what they want to hear. If it was, you know, I saw a really good product and I knocked it off and I put it on Amazon faster than they did and I sold a bunch. they would say, no way could you tell that story on TV. So Shark Tank is really looking for an authentic, like, American dream. Like, what is this country really based off of? The American dream is about innovation. It's about, you know, bootstrapping. It's about making something out of nothing. So if your story is aligned with that, then, you know, that's where you really make it.
And what about the Forbes 30 and 30?
Yeah, Forbes, being a part of Forbes was pretty amazing. It was funny because I didn't think I would make Forbes 30 under 30 because they kind of have this weird system. It makes sense, but so when you apply, let's say you apply this year, after the applications, they'll have the party for last year. So I applied, I saw a party for last year. I was like, oh, I'm not on the list. Like, I didn't get the invite to the party. I'm like, totally not. There's no way I'm on it. So, so then after the party, they'll announce who's for the next year. And, that was kind of funny. I remember I like searched around like, oh, I can't find my name anywhere. So I definitely didn't get it. And then the next couple weeks or days, our girl that was like focusing on PR, she told me that I got Forbes 30 under 30. So thing is, within an hour, I found out that I was on Forbes 30 under 30 and on the cover of Time magazine. On the same day. So that was pretty, intense.
That was really awesome. And when I have seen your product, it's worthwhile. When Time magazine put that thing on the cover page, and I can see that it's a type of innovation that can help the people in the day-to-day life. They can use it very, like, you are selling it on like $29.99, $49.99 or something like that. It's the regular one. And already the person who are in this field, like in the automation, or I can say they are using the tools every day, mechanic and the engineers and all, they have the specific use of that equipment. And yes, that is the thing that may lead you towards that Forbes 30 and the 30 and the Shark Tank. That's why they invested in your company and you are growing right now. Awesome. Yeah. That's really crazy. So, man, I have seen also that you are working on this project from like last 5 years, but the things that you come into the spotlight when you appeared in these Shark Tanks, when you appear in Forbes 30 under 30, but I know that under the ground, underneath of this that ground, you struggle a lot. You just invested your years, your nights, your days, your money, and all the stuff. Nobody have seen that before. But then people are watching your success right now. But I know that it took time. It takes a lot of time, a lot of mindset and all the things that you have invested in to get this to harvest, I can say, this kind of fruitful success in your life. So I want to ask that, what are the skill set? What are that mindset? What are that activities, or I can say the discipline you have done in this period of the time that lead you this kind of amazing achievements in your life?
Yeah. So the, what you're talking about with like the successes and the failures, people don't really see that. There was a period where I worked on GripMap for 3 years and I didn't make any money. So, I that's significantly easier said than like lived. So people are like, oh yeah, it's like 3 years, but it's like, imagine if right now, like, okay, 3 more years, like we're not making any money. How do you survive? Mm. So it's, getting through that, I think like really prepared me for, to like what I am today. So the thing is, it's like, what I see a lot is that it usually takes at least a year and a half to 3 years to like get something off the ground, especially for what I call the grouch founder. So something that people aren't like taking notice of is they're like, well, Elon Musk can just like start something overnight and it just works, where it's like, yeah, but this isn't his first time around. Like he's been through this, you know, these long-term lessons. So the thing is, a tough part is we have a lot of like instant gratification, and the only way to like learn a long-term lesson is like through a long period of time. You can't learn a 3-year lesson in a 20-minute YouTube video. So the thing is, going through that process is very critical to like how you'll operate in the future. And, you know, with the concept of entrepreneurship, it doesn't build your character, it reveals it. So it's almost like, you know, people think like, oh, I'm going to like be an entrepreneur and then I'll be like this awesome person, where it's like, it's not like you're building a wall with stone. It's like you are the stone and it's going to chisel away. And like at the end, there could be a sculpture, there could be a rock cut in half, or it could just be a pile of stones. So, you know, I'd say like, you know, what I've learned is really like the concept of trusting the process, and you're always learning. You know, being humble is important, but, you know, at the same time, I think I was struggling with always being ready for, you know, the punch in the face around the corner that I couldn't celebrate myself. You know, get on cover of Time and Forbes and Shark Tank, and I it was hard for me to celebrate because I was like, it was hard for me to like go 3 years of nothing to like, all right, now it's starting to work, and it was hard to like to really celebrate. So
I feel that, and I can say that you are true, that when you have seen this kind of hardship and when you see this kind of success in your life, you can see that, okay, I built that value. I created that things, who I am. I'm revealing now myself to in front of the different people, different personalities. And that's why it is happening. At the end of the day, who I am is the who I am before 3 years, right now. But now people have considered me because of what I have created to help them, to ignite them, and to make their life very simple and easy. And it's an amazing thing that you have that you cannot learn from like a 20 minutes video of the YouTube, while you will learn that things in 3 years of your experience. And yes, it's really important. It's really a matter when you are doing this kind of stuff, especially the entrepreneurship. So the thing that I have also learned from you is about the vulnerability. So right now I can say the COVID condition is the time when I can say it's a vulnerable time. Lots of people have lost their job. Lots of aircraft companies are losing their market. And lots of people, even that industry, they are losing their jobs drastically. So now what do you think that, what are the right steps that people have to do in this time of vulnerability so that they can get success? They can change this whole concept, like this is the bad time, but they can revolve this thing in 180 degree and they can make a success in their life.
Yeah, I would say to me, one part of vulnerability is authenticity. And I think where we really lack authenticity is social media. And I think if we had more authentic social media, that would bring a better understanding of everyone as a whole. Because like the only part that you're showing on social media is typically not reality. It's cropped. We got filters. We got, you know, you're doing, you know, things to only show the best part. So the thing is, when I post something like that and then you see it and you're like, oh wow, like Tom's like up here, when reality I'm like down here. And then you're like, well, let's say I'm right here, you're right here. Mm-hmm. And you like, but you think I'm up here, and then you post something that you're up here. So the thing is, everyone thinks that the other person is up here when we're all like down here. So, you know, that's why you see so many posts about something positive and great, but you don't see, like, you know, something about someone having a hard day or being depressed, where we're in a pandemic. Like, if anyone would be posting about it, right now is the time that they would be posting about it, and we're still not posting about it. So we've got, you know, you can't sit here and, like, if you were, had no knowledge of the pandemic and you were just looking at social media, you'd be like, everyone is crazy happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you, but you, there's no way I could say our country is just, like, off the charts happy. There's no way. But yeah, if you were to go by the social media. So the thing is, why I say that is how that leads to success is, you know, I think to a point our social media is a form of measuring external validation instead of measuring internal validation. So once, you know, you find a way to measure your internal validation, that's when you're getting to the point of, like, the ability to manifest and be magnetic. So that's why I think it's so important to know your core values, because, like, with my core values, what I was looking at is, what's the opposite of my core value? And I needed to, like, find ways to manage that and, or be away from that. And then I was like, how do I get this core value? Like, one of mine is adventure. So I need to, like, do something a little risky. I need to find a new place or something I've never seen before, or go somewhere on the island I've never been before. And, you know, like, efficiency, how do I, like, feed that core value of efficiency? You know, if it's saving time, money, energy, or food, that is a way that I feel like I am, you know, that's growing when my core values. So, like, being in your core values and growing your core values is very, like growing internally, mm-hmm, and internal validation instead of seeking that external. So once the internal is focused on and maximized, then the external stuff will come naturally. And also it'll never really be a focus, because you're always focused internally. So, I mean, the thing is, now I go on, like, hikes or adventures or whatever, and a lot of times I don't even bring my phone, where I could be the entire time, like, you know, doing a selfie of, like, look where I am, like, check out this view. And, and, you know, sometimes I catch myself doing that, but also I've seen, like, a lot of people get energy from that. And that's, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll start doing that more. But, you know, with whatever you're doing, like, that gives you energy, is it, like, external or is it internal? So I think it's important to watch.
Yeah, that is really important. I was reading a book, which is, I forgot the name of the book, but it say that to not depend upon the external validation. And you say the exact thing, what you have applied in your life, do not go for that external validation that can help you or they can destroy you simultaneously. So when you have that internal voice, what you want to do in your life, go ahead, do it. And that's the best time. And the COVID situation, yes, you are absolutely right that the people are showing their happy face, but we understand, we can see that what's the real situation right now is happening. And that's why amazing. And then what you have said about the social media, and I can say when I was going through it, I have seen and I have learned that you are so joyful. You are enjoying that. You are exploring the things that you are doing, whatever the things, like your business, your company, your product. I can say also your life, your holidays, you are enjoying that. You are doing whatever you want to do. Sometimes you are posting on social media. So we have seen on social medias, and that click in my mind that, okay, many entrepreneurs are there. Many big entrepreneurs are there. They have achieved all the success they want in life. They have lots of money in their life, mansions, villas, cars, whatever they want to do in their life. But they do not have one important thing, and it's the happiness, the joy of life. They do not have that. And what I have found in your things, that you are doing that stuff. And the thing that I want to ask is, what's the secret behind it?
Yeah, I would say, like, the concept of like happiness, you know, what's a word for someone who's really, really happy? Who has a lot of happiness?
When I
Can't really think of one. So like, what's a word for someone who has a lot of money?
Rich people.
So like the word I'm thinking of is millionaire. What does millionaire mean to you?
What's a millionaire?
A million, I mean, millionaire means they have more than $1 million. But if you and I were out at a restaurant and I said, that guy's a millionaire, what would you think of him?
They get more pizzas than me. Sometimes, no.
Yeah, most people would think like, oh, wow, they must be successful. Mm. They've had a lot of success in specifically obtaining money. So therefore, usually that can turn into like a comparison thing or like an image thing of like, oh, they're really like on the right track. Where there's not a word for like, oh, wow, that person's super happy. Like there's not like the word for happier or like there's not a word of like, you know, if I were to be like, this guy's really successful, you probably would think he's, you know, that is in a business or like started a business and has a lot of money. You would never think like, oh, he probably like, you want to assume that I meant he has a lot of people who love him. He has a lot of, you know, people that he impacts. He has a, you know, a lot of, he's really good at obtaining happiness. Like you, so I, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot since I've been here in Kauai. And honestly, like being here in Kauai has been the most like transformational thing for me. But yeah, so I guess kind of going back to the core values of like, that's where you'll like start to really see your happiness and, you know, have the ability to like, to me, I struggled with like, with celebrating myself. I struggled with like feeling, so specifically, I felt like I was lucky. I felt like I was basically like struck by lightning when it was, you know, hard for me to like convert that into realizing that I'm lightning, you know, you know, I'm the one that was like that manifested and got Shark Tank and Forbes and Time and, you know, Edison Award and all these other things. So it's like, you know, I didn't like get lucky. Like it all, you know, was working together. And it's like almost like the way gravity works is like when more things come together, like it gets stronger. So,
okay. So this is amazing what you have said, Ed, that you was thinking that the lightning came in your life, but you didn't think that you are itself, the lightning. So, and you say that the manifestation that you have done for Shark Tank, for the different kind of awards in your life. So what do you mean by that? You have any vision board, you have any kind of stuff over there with you, or you just followed the process and just get your achievements?
Yeah. So, I mean, like with Shark Tank, what I would do is I would like, people talk about meditating. I don't think I really meditate. I like envision. So I would basically for 2 minutes, I'd stand like this, like standing up, and I would like envision what, you know, what something like 1 to 3 really big goals. And then for 8 minutes, I would stand with my hands on my hips and I would think of like, what can I do today to get closer to that big goal? So, you know, I think like that was a point of like manifesting. And I guess like what I'm seeing now is, you know, it's been some time since Shark Tank, but you know, it's like retooling of like, okay, what's like the next big step in my life? And how do I, you know, how do I manifest that?
Wow. So, yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome exercise that you are seeing right now, because I have heard these things in TEDx talk and the lady was saying that by just uplifting your hands, it will give you a more dopamine inside your brain, and that can help you to do anything very effectively and like with full of energy. And then you are doing with that stuff. I believe that it works for you, and you are here with us and with lots of success right now. And this is ridiculously awesome that you are sharing with us. So now the thing is, the things that you have done after that stuff, everything changed for your life, for you, for your environment, what you are doing right now, what you was doing before than that. So now everything's changed. So what do you feel about this change, and how do you want, or I can say, how you want to utilize this change that happening in your life or that already happened to help the other peoples, or I can say to grow your company, to help many peoples?
Yeah, I would say like the stage that I'm in now, I was actually talking to my therapist this morning about like really focusing on manifesting. Before I feel like I was really doing out a thing of like grit and like hard work. So I guess like the concept of manifesting specifically is like doing it with ease. Like something that I broke through recently is like success does not have to be hard. And that was something that I was telling myself is like, I'm successful because I worked really hard and I sacrificed a lot. So it was like depressing thinking of like, wow, if I do this again, it's going to be another 3 years of like painful dark ages. So yeah, I would say the next step is to really, focus on my manifesting. I guess when it comes to like helping others, I've got a friend who he lives in Rio, Brazil, and he's a black belt, and he teaches kids in the slums like self-defense. And I raised some money for my birthday for him, and his name's Diogo, and like Diogo is a black belt. He's also a waiter, and as you know, with COVID, it's very hard to get a job. So, especially in the restaurant industry. So, with the money that I raised, we bought some equipment for like the training for the kids, and then we had some extra. So we're doing basically I'm giving Diogo a salary where he. The thing is, one of our dollars is 5.5 of their dollars. It used to be 3.75 a year ago, but it's like due to the inflation. So one of our dollars goes a long way there. And basically, I'm able to pay Diogo $284 a month for a salary. And he's got a wife and a kid and everything. So the thing is with all of that, what I'm doing is, so I take Fridays off and I'm using it to like volunteer. And I normally on the side, I'll do business coaching. I usually do it for like $15 to $2,000 a month. And so now I'm like picking a handful of like newer companies to do it for $500, and all that, those smaller companies, all the money is going to support Diogo. So, yeah, that's what one thing that I'm like pretty passionate about. So kind of using entrepreneurship to support others.
Wow. That's really inspiring. When you're earning a lot and the things that you are accepting, all the materialistic things in your life, but instead of that, you are doing what that can help to the people. The more money that you are earning, the more you are donating to someone, and that can really help them life. It impacts a lot on the person directly, on the family, and whoever the person is there, either they are hospitals, either they are orphanage or whatever you are. And like you are helping your friends or your families. That's really awesome. And I can say every entrepreneur, they have to think that it's not about the materialistic things that they have to acquire while they are becoming successful, but they have to share the humanity to the people so that a lot of other people will become entrepreneurs like them. They can get the inspiration from them, and it's fabulous. It's awesome. Yep. Concept. I am totally agree with you. So now I think it's good to get a lot more information, but now I want to ask that as an inventor, or I can say as an entrepreneur, as a successful entrepreneur, what do you have some suggestion, or I can say, what do you have some information to share with the upcoming entrepreneurs? They are like new in this field? What about the passion? What about the competition? What about the new innovation and the future of the world? What do you want to say to them?
Yeah, I mean, what's your rattlesnake?
That's the awesome story. That's the amazing part of this podcast. And now I can say we have a bunch of tons of information right now with these amazing things that we have talked. But now it's time to go ahead with this rapid question answer session. And I will ask some of the questions that is really important. What I and many of us we are using in daily life. And the first question that I want to ask that I have seen on your Facebook feed, and that was, what's your morning routine?
Oh, shnikes. Yeah. So, I mean, it really depends. I mean, past couple months, I've been like going through a roller coaster of emotions and like dealing with depression. So the concept of grace for me has been pretty hard of like sleeping in. You know, when I'm on excited, you know, everything's going great. It's typically waking up between 4 and 5 and like working out and ideally here like seeing the sunrise. You know, like recently I've been back on that schedule, which has been really good. You know, I'm 5 hours behind Eastern Standard Time. So waking up early and starting to like communicate with other people and checking the stock market, it's always beneficial. But I do need to get back into the vision style, the vision system. I've got a daily planner for like successful people. I need to get back into that. But yeah, that's the ideal.
Wow.
Ideal morning.
I can understand. And it's all about, in this stage, what I believe is, in my 20s, I was just applying lots of things. And then I will choose what is perfect, what is best for me. So by that, I can realize that, okay, this is the perfect thing. Whoever the person is telling me, but that's okay. What I like, what I can suit it for the particular thing, and that I will choose. Okay, so the next question that is about, as an entrepreneur, what do you think that is the most difficult thing in your life?
The most difficult thing in my life, I would say believing that I can do it.
Mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur? Okay.
Yeah. I'd say that's been like the hardest struggle of like for myself is believing and accepting that the sky's the limit. I mean, I would say the hardest part is specifically getting out of the mindset that you've been raised with. So if you're raised, you know, and I watch this with, you know, at schools I would speak at, obviously COVID, you can not speaking, but you know, seeing that, like realizing that, you know, college is a big deal for them, like that's like, that is like winning, where
yep.
You know, being around other people, like other families with different standards, like some kids, like just going to college is like a big deal. Like be the first person in their family, like graduate. Where like other families, the it's like the standard to go to Harvard. Like that,
yep.
you will do it. Like not just going to community college. So, you know, breaking, basically setting new standards for yourself and mm-hmm. understanding that. Where like for me, I remember I met this guy who was a doctor and a dentist. And I was like, wow, that is crazy. His great grandpa was a doctor. His grandpa was a doctor. His dad was a doctor. When he told me, when I found that out and I realized that he was a doctor, I'm not impressed at all. If he would have said his dad was absent in his life, or his dad was a truck driver, or his dad, and then he became a doctor, that's impressive. So I guess like what's the hardest part is like rewiring your brain, because the thing is like you've been raised that way. You don't even understand like how much you're wired to do that, if that makes sense.
Definitely. You're right. And it's the most important thing in our life to make sure about that, that stuff. The next question I want to ask is about how much do you sleep?
um, So I've realized if I'm depressed, I'll sleep probably 9 hours. If I'm anxious, I'll sleep like under 5.
Okay.
So if I get at least 6 hours, then I'm good. Mm-hmm. So I'll go through this like this, you know, thing of like I'm feeling depressed, so I just want to sleep more. And so if I'm sleeping a lot, that's a sign that I'm depressed. And if I'm not sleeping, that means I'm like
anxious.
Really anxious, dealing with a lot of anxiety. Yeah. So the money maker is between like 6 and 7.
Okay. I understand.
A lot of people will say 8, but yeah, a lot of people will say like 8's the magic number, but really the thing is your sleep cycles are roughly an hour and a half. So
yeah.
When you do the math, 8 doesn't even make sense. It's either like 6, 7 and a half or 9.
So Yes, yeah. I got it. The fourth question is, what is your favorite book and author?
Right now, I'd say Kyle Cease with Kyle Cease, Illusion of Money, I would say. That book's changed my life, so highly recommend that one.
That's wonderful. I will definitely make sure about that I have that book. And the first question and the last question that I want to ask is about, what is your ultimate goal in your life and how do you want to help the world?
Yeah, so this is kind of what I realized with doing my core values is you know, I thought I knew what my why, how, what was until I did my core values. I redid it. I wanted to show the world how to live outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
I want to show the world of like how to be the best version of themselves. So, you know, how I do that is through inventing, is through, you know, being a speaker and business coaching. Like what that is, you know, Hawaii, Grip Mat, Shark Tank, you know, Forbes and Time. So, yeah.
Yeah. That are the great thing. By yourself, you want to show to the world that who I am, in what condition I was, and what I became. That's the thing, how a person, how a single person, whoever he is, he can change his life very, very efficiently if he want to do that. So it was fabulous to talk with you, Tom. And the things that we learned, the true authenticity and the, some of the stuff that was really awesome. So I can say, guys, this is the awesome chat. You are talking with the person who is great in his field, who is doing what he actually want to do in his life. He is exploring the world by his all of the things that he have. And now what he is doing is just try to explore, just try to rethink, just try to rewire so that he can help the thousands of people. He's the one who appeared on the Forbes, that we know that. But what he is doing in his current life, like he is the one who is attached to his core value. Tom is the person who think that the authenticity of yourself, of your business can help you to grow exponentially. The time you have invested in your business will be considered by the people, but you first have to invest it. You have to invest in a proper method, what you love. And that's why he said that first, before doing anything, find your rattlesnake, find the things that you actually want to do. Maybe you do not have the next time to do anything, but this is the time that you can do everything. And that's why we love the Tom. We get a lot of motivation, lots of inspiration from him. And his life is, I can say, the true success, the true things that he is doing. He is helping thousands of people by his product, but now he is also helping thousands of people by his coaching. So if you love him, if you like him, if you want to do something like him, please go and check out his Instagram, his company website. You can find the Grip Mat on every social medias and just go and check it out. So thank you so much, Tom. Thank you so much for your support and thank you so much for your time. It's Hawaii there. It's amazing atmosphere over there. Please enjoy and thank you for your amazing talk.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
So don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, Breaker, and also on YouTube. And if you like to read something about this episode, you can easily find the keynotes of the episode on our blog. You can get more information in the description, so please go and check it. So stay tuned with us to learn world's powerful techniques, strategies, skills, information to get the virtues of life.